I'm Michelle Martin, and this is Tell Me More from NPR News. Coming up, our personal finance guru, Alvin Hall, fills in the blanks on the massive economic stimulus package that President Obama is fighting for. We'll have that conversation in just a few minutes. But we start with the first family. Young, cool, they're moving Brad and Angelina off the covers of the celebrity mags and Britney off the radar altogether. Everybody wants to know what they're doing, what they're wearing, and what about that puppy? But why? Why are we so fascinated? And what does it mean that we are? And of course, what impact might it have on the American psyche to have this young African-American family so much in the spotlight? To talk about all this, we've invited Cynthia Gordy, Washington correspondent for Essence magazine. She is herself a first, the first person to hold this new post for the magazine. Rob Howe, news editor for People magazine. And Bart Landry, he's a sociology professor at the University of Maryland who's written extensively about the family and the African-American family in particular. I welcome you all. Thanks so much for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
I want to ask each of you this. We've all commented upon the stunning crowds drawn by the Barack Obama when he was a candidate, the intense interest in the whole family. Look, you can go to any inner city store, a store in any city, and you can see memorabilia with the whole family. You know, I have a mouse pad that somebody sent me with a picture of the whole family, pictures of the girls. And let's not even talk about the fact that 1.8 million people braved 17-degree weather to go to the inauguration. A lot of people brought their children. So I wanted to ask each of you, what's behind this type of interest in the president and his family? And Rob, I'm going to ask you first, because People, for many people, People magazine defines pop culture interest. So why don't you start?
Well, it's true. We do. We have also been covering politics since the Carter administration, so we kind of do it all. But this is the perfect combination. This man is, as you say, a rock star. He body surfs, and he looks good doing it. He's handsome. He's articulate at a time when we need that sort of reassurance that somebody can speak to us clearly and plainly and with vision, because we know the Bushes never really got the vision thing. His wife, Michelle, is beautiful. The children are spectacular, and they're not just cute, they are articulate. After the inauguration, Sasha gives Dad the thumbs up. You gotta like that. Before the inauguration, Malia turns to Dad and says, gee, first African-American president, you better be good. I mean, who could come up with that?
And how much of the awe factor is due to the fact of the novelty you think of the Obamas being the first African-Americans? Or is it not that they're African-Americans, or is it the African-Americans they are?
I think it's a combination of both. I recall early in the campaign, it's the question, was he black enough? I think at the end, it was clearly a question of, are you a leader for our future? He is historic. That does make a huge difference. There have been historic points in the past, but like with Kennedy, in fact, it was an historic moment, and that was a generational shift of sorts. The baby boomers weren't voting yet, but they were thinking about it. I think that, yes, he's African-American. That's historic. That's very important. I think there's a little bit of a generational shift, too, and that is equally important. If you wipe away the voters, say, 50 and older, he walked away with this thing.
Okay. Bart Landry, your take?
Well, I think we can't understand the infatuation with his family without thinking about why Obama was so popular. Why did he strike a nerve? You know, in sociology, we would think of him as a charismatic leader. Charismatic leader is someone who comes up with a new idea and who can inspire people to follow him for that idea or ideology, whether it's religious or political, and willing to follow him along new paths. And I think Obama managed to do this from the very beginning in Iowa. But, you know, it's not enough to be a charismatic. There has to be the receptivity. So charisma works best in a time of crisis. And so we've had, you know, 8 years of George Bush and a war that never ends. Then we had a growing economic crisis. And Obama came up with a message that resonated.
So you think that the fascination with the family really flows from fascination with him?
They had to embrace him first. You know, if they had not embraced him wholeheartedly like this, they would not be fascinated with the family. But once they've embraced him, you know, we're a People's Magazine and YouTube culture. We want to know every single detail about this person that we're so taken up with.
And Cynthia, let's bring you in. You are a first, too, as I mentioned. Essence is establishing a Washington correspondent. Essence is a very significant magazine. It's one of the best-selling women's magazines, one of the best-selling African-American publications. The motto is, where black women come first. But Barack Obama's not a black woman. And so why is Essence so engaged with the story as to appoint you to this role, the first in its history, 30-year history?
Well, Essence has always covered politics, and particularly this particular story of Barack Obama's ascent. It's having a Washington correspondent is really just a natural progression of what we've been doing for the past 2 years with regard to Barack Obama. And, you know, the historicness of this moment, having the first African-American president is so huge that I think Essence wouldn't really be doing its job if we didn't have someone here on the ground covering it and doing fresh reporting on that every single day. But, you know, with regard to why black women are interested in this, I mean, we don't only have a black president, but we have a black first lady, which for a lot of our readership, that's just as affirming and exciting as having a black president. A lot of people never thought we'd see this in our lifetime.
Let me just jump in just briefly to say, if you're just joining us, you're listening to Tell Me More from NPR News. I'm speaking with Cynthia Gordy of Essence Magazine, Professor Bart Landry of the University of Maryland, who has an expertise on the family and the black family in particular, and Rob Howe of People Magazine about the excitement and fascination with the first family. Cynthia, I want to stay with you. Sometimes that fascination is a double-edged sword. I noticed during the campaign there was a lot of Michelle got a lot of, how can we put it, feedback on everything from whether she was deferential enough and how she should do her hair and things of that sort. Is this attention an unalloyed good, or is there a downside to it that people feel like they can critique everything? I noticed that Essence on the webpage was talking about where should they vacation.
Well, I think as far as the feedback that Michelle got, I mean, as celebrated as she is, I think she's still has to contend with racial stereotyping. So if she says something like, of course, the infamous, for the first time, I'm proud of my country comment, that gets twisted as being having a chip on her shoulder. Or if she makes a quip about her husband not putting away his socks, she's seen as emasculating and the angry black woman. But I really feel like, you know, as far as she's concerned, she's very self-possessed, and she's made it very clear that she knows exactly who she is, and she's going to continue being herself. And I feel like she's handled it with a lot of grace. I think the attention given to her children is something that she's very protective of, which we saw, obviously, this weekend with those Sasha and Malia dolls that came out from the Thai toy company. She, you know, tried to nip that sort of attention on her daughters right in the bud by issuing a statement saying that she didn't think it was appropriate to use children for marketing purposes. So I think, you know, the family is going to continue to protect their images and protect their children. But at the same time, I think they, you know, they're prepared for what they're walking into as the first family.
I want to hear more about that, the boundaries that, or whatever boundaries exist in covering the kids in just a minute. I want to hear from both of you on that. But before I want to hear, Professor Landry, what do you think is the fascination with the children? I understand your point that the kind of interest in the family flows from interest in the dad. But do you think there's something about the idea of, look, you've got these very cute black children? Is there something about the way the family presents itself as this traditional nuclear family is it unusual for people? Is there something aspirational about their interest in? What do you think?
I think there's something aspirational about it. I think that in spite of the fact that the marriage rate has gone down in the United States as it has gone down in Europe, there is still this image that the family is a traditional family. And, you know, it has the two kids and the dog and the picket fence. Of course, we've got the White House here instead of the picket fence. But I think people still want to see that as the ideal, even if they don't have it in their own lives, even if they don't personally aspire to it. It's still part of our culture. It's very, 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 very deep. And, you know, what's more appealing than to have a beautiful family? And that's what they are, physically beautiful. And I think that's very important. We like beautiful people. And there's a premium to it. And we like kids. You know, we were very taken up with John, huh, in the Kennedy era. So, and there were lots of pictures of him. So that same kind of phenomenon, embracing a family, the family image is there. And I think the fact that it's a black family has a bonus, huh?
Does it have a bonus?
It has.
How so?
I think it has a tremendous bonus. Look.
Explain.
I just had interviews with reporters from France and from England. And they both wanted to hear about the black middle class because they said there, what they hear about are the problems about black males, about black families broken up. They said they don't have a very good image, a very good idea of what the American, African-American community is like. So they wanted to know about the black middle class. So Obama is representing that.
And unlike The Cosby Show, which was a top 10 show for many, many years, but was fictional, so many people didn't believe it?
I think that, you know, people didn't believe it. They saw it as fiction. So they saw it as the exception because that was the only thing it was a middle class, black middle class they ever saw. Everything else was, you know, black poverty, etc. So they wanted to get a better picture. And I think that, you know, there's deep negative stereotypes and myths about the black community, about the black family, that is changing but has not died.
Rob, I want to hear from you briefly. We only have about a minute left and we need to take a short break, but we'll come right back to you after the break. What role do you think race plays in the dynamic of how your readers receive your coverage of the Obama family?
Well, it plays a role just in the historic nature of it. But I think relatability is a key, as Bart was saying, that the Kennedys were almost like a royal family. We looked at them, we looked at John and Caroline, and we were entranced. This family is more like us than the Kennedys were, regardless of the race. And I think that the Obamas are aware of that. The girls are wearing J. Crew. Now, it's true, you couldn't get those J. Crew coats on the shelves right now, but you will be. And that sort of relatability crossed a lot of the traditional lines. And we wanted to embrace this family. They were a little more like us, and it was inspirational.
We need to pause here for just a moment, and we are going to continue our conversation about the first family with our panelists, Cynthia Gordy, Washington correspondent for Essence Magazine, University of Maryland sociology professor Bart Landry, and Rob Howe, news editor for People Magazine. Please stay with us. This is Tell Me More from NPR News. I'm Michelle Martin. I'm Michelle Martin, and this is Tell Me More from NPR News. Just ahead, President Obama is on Capitol Hill today fighting for his new stimulus plan. But what's in it, and why does he think it will help? We're going to ask our regular contributor on matters of personal finance and the economy, Alvin Hall, to help us sort it all out. But first, more of our conversation about the fascination with the Obama family. Our guests are Cynthia Gordy, newly appointed Washington correspondent for Essence Magazine, University of Maryland sociology professor Bart Landry, and Rob Howe, news editor for People Magazine. Rob, I wanted to ask you about the whole question of where are the boundaries in covering such young children. I mean, of course, everybody, I think, appreciates the fact that the president is fair game, and to some extent, so is the first lady, because she's an adult. But the children are very young, and as Cynthia pointed out, there's already this kerfuffle over the weekend about a toy company making these dolls with the kids' names. And then, as I think many people remember, there was hell to pay for people who crossed the line with the Clintons if they were perceived to have invaded Chelsea Clinton's privacy when she was a minor, very protective. So I wanted to ask, what are the boundaries in covering these children for People Magazine?
Well, I actually think they're pretty clear. We are not intrusive. We have no intention of being intrusive. We weren't with Chelsea. We are infinitely curious, and we will happily accept any photographs or information that anyone would like to offer. In fact, the Obamas did offer up those pictures of the girls just before they went to school that first day in D.C., and that was terrific. And I think they understood that that was a picture that the media would like to see. They provided it. We ran it. Readers responded to it. It was a terrific thing. And nobody was hanging around Sidwell friends trying to get, you know, sort of sneaky shots of them. So that was
good. No long lens pictures at the soccer games, at the kids' soccer games. None of that for you?
If it exists, they won't be for us. No, we've always been protective of that. When the Bushes were in office and Jenna and Barbara were a little older, they did have their little sort of event in Austin where it was an underage drinking. It was a minor thing, what kids who are in their late teens and early 20s do. And that was a news event, and we did cover that, and everybody else, I think, pretty much covered that. But in general, we will give them their space, and we would also welcome the opportunity to sit with them anytime they would like.
So would we. I think we all
exactly.
would. We can all go together.
I mean, they're just fascinating. They're endlessly fascinating.
Well, Cynthia, that Essence magazine has had a lot of access to the Obama family. There was a major takeout over the summer with the family at home, many, many pictures. But what about for you? What are the lines? And do you consider it as a publication dedicated to celebrating African-American women and the family, I think? Do you see it as your job to celebrate them? Or what about it if something unfortunate arises? What do you think?
We definitely are approaching the Obamas primarily from a news point of view. It's a lot of it's issue driven, and it's really based on what happens as opposed to always celebrating their existence. But that said, our readership is very excited about this family. And with regard even to the little girls, a lot of our readers are very excited to see, for the first time that many of us can remember, little black girls being celebrated and cared about by mainstream America. I think little black girls tend to be at the bottom of the totem pole as far as who's given a lot of positive attention. They're generally ignored. When they go missing, no one really cares. So to see, Sasha and Malia running around the White House lawn and people being excited to see what kind of puppy they're going to get, it's really different to see that, and I think it has huge implications on the self-esteem for little black girls.
But do you think there's a tension there because they have a natural desire as parents to protect their children and to have them have as normal a life as possible? On the other hand, I have to assume they must understand how mm-hmm. much many people in this country want to see them
right.
and want access to their lives. I wonder if they have any idea how they're going to handle that.
Well, I think the fact that this past week we haven't seen the First Lady or the First Daughters very much at all signals how they're handling it. I think they're setting a precedent right now that, you know, when it comes to public events, like when they were on the campaign trail and certainly at the inaugural events, they were available to people. But right now they're very quietly getting settled into the White House and they're not doing a lot of public events. They're not talking about their daily schedule and they're keeping that under wraps.
And finally, Bart Landry, if I could have a final thought from you, and I'm asking you to speculate, but you're our big thinker here, so I think that's fair. Is this potentially a game changer? Cynthia talked about the fact that, Rob talked about relatability. Cynthia talked about how the effect on the psyche of African-Americans particular to see these little girls be celebrated and appreciated. Is this potentially a game changer, and for who?
I think it is. You know, image is everything, and image of black people in the past, or lack of image, for instance, of black kids in the media, or in textbooks, etc. An image of positive black, beautiful positive black family, again and again in the media, is bound to have an impact on blacks, definitely, as role models, as something to aspire to, or something to be proud of. But it's also going to have a big impact upon whites because they're seeing a different image of blacks again and again.
Bart Landry, University of Maryland sociology professor. He was kind enough to join me here in our Washington, D.C. studio, along with Cynthia Gordy, newly appointed Washington correspondent for Essence magazine. Congratulations. Good luck. Come back and see us.
Thank you.
And she was here with me, too. And Rob Howe, news editor for People magazine. He joined us from our New York bureau. And if you get that interview, Rob, I hope you'll come back and talk about it.
Oh, you bet.
Remember, at Tell Me More, the conversation never ends. We'd like you to tell us more about your thoughts about the pop culture media treatment of the First Family. Do you think the star status of the Obamas can revitalize the image of the presidency or the American family? Or are we expecting too much of them? Could it even be a distraction from the hard work ahead for the country? To tell us more about what you think and to compare notes with what other listeners are saying, please go to our website, the Tell Me More page at npr.org. You can also call our comment line at 202-842-3522. Again, 202-842-3522. And please remember to tell us your name and where you're from.